Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
When I turn on the Morning Rush, I want to hear Ty at his best every single day.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorback.
Ty, fortunately, has saved the world and not yet procreated.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
If you look at what happened of week one, the SEC schedule, Alabama wasn't even definitive, which was odd to me. Alabama did not cover the spread against the Missouri Tigers. Now, Missouri did score on the final play of the game, but even Alabama didn't look as dominant as many thought they would. And really, the teams behind Alabama, since they're going to win the SEC West this year, there was no really definitive team that came out and made their mark on Saturday. And you could say, well, what about Mississippi State? They had a big-time win on the road against the defending national champion. And you really like what you saw from Mike Leach's squad if you are a Bulldog fan. But if you look at LSU, who lost at home to Mike Leach and the Pirate, you look at Auburn, who got by Kentucky but wasn't dominant in that football game and really got a call lucky it late in the first half that helped them win. You look at some of the other teams in the SEC West, Ole Miss looked like it couldn't stop a junior varsity team with the way Florida dominated them offensively. You look at Arkansas, who had a lead over Georgia for 39 minutes but wasn't able to get it done. You look at Texas A&M, who barely beat Vanderbilt. Barely beat Vanderbilt. That is how they survived. So to me, after watching week one, and I know it's just 1 week of college football from the SEC standpoint, but to me, second place in this conference is wide open. And I think it's really hard to make a argument against that based on what we've seen in week one. Now, maybe our decision, maybe our opinions of that will change in week number two, but right now, on a Friday, leading up to week two of the SEC football season, with COVID and everything going on, I think the second place in this conference is wide open. I say second place in this division of the SEC West. Uh-huh. This is...
Want to be, conference or division?
Yeah, division.
You said it both ways. Division? Okay.
Division.
Yeah. I'd agree more with the division than the conference. I'm still a believer in Georgia.
I would... Well,
Georgia and Florida.
And Florida. That's more the same. And that's why I corrected it real quick, because it's definitely division, not so much conference. This is the Morning Rush. He's Tommy Kraft. I'm Ty Richardson. 877-377-6963 is the number to call or text in. We are always streaming live on hitthatline.com. You can find our video stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. If you have a smart speaker, just say play ESPN Arkansas. We are also on the TuneIn app as well. If you don't get a chance to listen to our show or Halftime or anything else in its entirety, make sure you are subscribed to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, where you can find Morning Rush Podcast, Halftime Pod, Fantasy Football Sunday, Ruskin and Zach, Primetime Preps, Hog Reaction. All those podcasts are up on there. Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever you listen to podcasts, we have those there. We're going to be joined by Jake Wimberly, who does the afternoon drive in Jackson, Mississippi for 105.9 The Zone. Really excited to talk with him about this football game. And excited to talk with you this morning. Again, any call or text, we're taking them all throughout the morning. Your score prediction, your thoughts on the game, whatever you want to talk about today, it is 877-377-6963. We are going to learn a lot more about the SEC West in week number two, though, Tommy.
Oh, yeah, and I think with the matchups, one thing that's interesting is, how does LSU bounce back? They play Vanderbilt this week. Now, we all expect LSU to win, but is it enough for LSU just to win this game, Ty, or did they have to be dominant? And when I mean dominant, you know, obviously Texas A&M had a lot of trouble with Vanderbilt last week. Wasn't that game 7-5 as well at the half? I mean, it was a weird baseball score. Yeah, I mean, how do you like to have a ticket on that in Vegas? Two SEC games, 7-5 at intermission. But I think LSU's under the gun a little bit this week, because they're the defending national champions. I know the hangover hasn't quite healed up from last season for the Tigers fans, but to me, this is a big game for Coach O. Not that he's going to be on the hot seat, but their fans are going to start getting restless if they struggle into the fourth quarter with Vanderbilt, who gave A&M a tussle last week. So that's an interesting game to me. Because I don't think LSU's completely out of the top third of the division conversation. I don't think they're going to finish one, but I do think they could finish two or three. They struggle this week. We're probably knocking them down a peg for sure.
Yeah, no question about it. They need to come out and blow the doors off Vanderbilt. And
wouldn't want to be Vanderbilt.
I would not want to be Vanderbilt this week either. Ed Orgeron and Scott Linehan and Steve Ensminger and Bo Pelini need to make a statement this week.
If Georgia beats Auburn 2 touchdowns, Auburn's fans don't like it, but they can at least reconcile mentally with that.
I don't know. That fan base is insane.
Well, I know, but
they can't reconcile
anything. I understand, but if you're LSU, think about this, though. If you're LSU and you lose to Mississippi State at home, and then you struggle the next week with Vanderbilt, there is no calculus in your head that can, even for a Cajun, that can figure that one out.
All right. Yeah, that's even for a Cajun.
Even for a Cajun.
Even for a Cajun. So, yeah, there's a lot of big games this weekend. I know.
If Bama lost to A&M, that's one thing. I mean, it's just a whole different deal. If you had back-to-back games where you lost or struggled, you lost to Mississippi State and then struggled to Vanderbilt, there's, for a team like LSU, there's no understanding that.
He's about to get chiseled in 2 years. And by that, I mean win a national championship 2 years later, you're finding a job. 877-377-6963 is the number to call in. Let's go to the land of the goblins and welcome in Dave and Harrison. Well, who does Harrison play tonight?
Harrison plays Alma tonight.
Alma. Big game against the, I almost said dogs. What, Airedales?
That's
Airedales. Close enough.
You need to be more specific than dogs.
A little more specific.
In the last 3 years. No, they have not.
Say again, we didn't hear the first
part.
Hey, whoa, Dave. We didn't hear the first part of that. Say that again.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking to my roommate. I wasn't even talking to you guys. Oh. My bad.
What's up?
Hey, let me tell you something.
Tell me something.
Now, I live in Harrison, Arkansas.
All right.
And I do root for the Razorbacks on occasion because I don't like LSU. Right. And I'm really not a big fan of Auburn. Right.
We got a lot of things
Alabama.
In common. We got things in common because, so far. Yeah.
Because I grew up 28 miles from Kyle Field. I'm an Aggie.
Okay.
True and blue.
Well, we're all from somewhere.
And you know what? It doesn't matter how much we've won by. We still beat Vanderbilt. We are 1-0. What's Arkansas?
So Dave,
0-1.
Dave, you want to call into an Arkansas sports radio show and brag about beating Vanderbilt?
I mean, what's your point here, Dave?
You know what? It doesn't matter who we beat. Who have you beat in the SEC in the last 3 years?
Ole Miss in 2017. That is,
we're damn proud of it. 2017. It was a glorious night. Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're going to set your dog Aggies, you're going to dog the Aggies because they barely beat Vanderbilt. They're still undefeated. And you know what's going to happen when they play Arkansas?
It's going to be about a 7-point game again. It'll be like it is, like the last 7 years, it'll be a touchdown or less ball game.
And Texas A&M will win again. You gentlemen have a great morning.
You know,
I just wanted to remind you that,
you know what, though, Dave? At the end of it, you know what?
Because
at the end of it, though, we may be
coach now.
We may be 1-23, but we're not Aggies. You know.
You know what?
Never mind. I don't trust what he might get ready to say.
I don't think he's going to get through to him. So there's one redeeming.
That was kind of going like Tuesday night went. That wasn't going to go well.
That was. One redeeming quality about the
I didn't want to, but I had a button. They couldn't shut them guys up on Tuesday. I could shut that down.
What happened?
What I had to say at the end of the day, maybe 1-20. Not Aggies, though, you know.
Could be worse.
Yeah, could be worse.
I hate everything about that school. I guess Dave wanted to call on an Arkansas Sports Talk radio show.
I don't
show
need caffeine now. I'm
and
good.
Talk about how his Texas A&M Aggies beat the Vanderbilt Commodores.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. The Vanderbilt Commodores. Dave, congratulations.
Yeah, yeah.
Argate about to get spanked by 35 against Alabama this
now
weekend.
Now, I hope, until that point, Dave, I just hoped Alabama only won by 10. Now, I hope they win by 110. So, thank you for the motivation.
Congratulations on your win in the worst program in the SEC, Dave.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Ryan and Van Buren text in. He says, man, Aggie Dave just threw a rare steak into a pack of pit bulls. Yeah, I would say when you come on an Arkansas Sports Talk radio station and you discuss how great Texas A&M is after beating the worst team potentially in the SEC, I would probably say that's a correct comparison from Ryan and Van Buren.
It wasn't so much that he wanted to talk at all about A&M. He just, what, you know, it's the typical, well, what has your program done? What's your record? You know, instead of, hey, he wanted to throw stones in a glass house. So,
and I thought we were pretty fair. A&M looked terrible in week one against Vanderbilt. They got the win. We didn't say they lost. Yeah. Got the win. I don't think as far as that's concerned.
The score was 7-5 at the half.
Yeah. JB in Bentonville texts in. He says, is David really bragging about beating Vandy? Their QB looked like a junior varsity, junior high athlete, and they've been terrible for 2 years. But I think Arkansas is going to surprise some people this year, maybe 3-4 wins. And those sorry Aggies, they're going to be a part of those wins this year.
Now it makes you want to beat A&M even more.
Yeah, just adds this to, year. Listen, Aggie Dave did not help my distaste for that university and everything.
Call back anytime starting next week, Dave.
Welcome. Want to welcome another caller to the program, Danny, who is in Russellville, good old Russ Vegas. Danny, you are on the Morning Rush, man.
Thank you, Tommy, for speaking for the entire state of Arkansas when you said, at least we're not Aggies.
We got that going for us.
I mean,
our record may be terrible.
The state of Arkansas, everybody said, amen.
Right. It may be 1-23 or whatever it is now.
Right.
1-24. I may not have updated that after the Georgia game. But irregardless, the point's the same. It doesn't matter what the record is. We don't wake up. We wake up as Razorbacks and not Aggies, and we're very thankful.
Thank the Lord. Yeah. Georgia had an excellent defense, and we know Mississippi State's not going to be in that category. But then again, their offense, that first game was pretty high-powered. So what are we going to expect? I've thought about it, and I do think we're going to figure out a way to run the football. We have to. If we don't, we're in deep trouble. And we got good running backs, and these coaches, we're going to find out. You know, a lot of people struggle their first game because of the coronavirus. And by the way, prayers go out to our president and first lady on the news. They have tested positive, but I still think that's going to play a big role in this year. I mean, nobody's tested more than the president. And these football teams, I know they're tested a lot too, but it could play a role.
It's going to.
I just want to know, how many points do the Hogs have to score to get a W? What do you guys think?
I've said all week the first to 50 wins. I think it may be upper 40s, around 50 points for the winner this week.
Well, I hope that's not true, because I don't know if we're capable of scoring that many points.
Well, I mean, okay, what was it, 44 points last week for Mississippi State and the win over LSU? Who do you think has the better defense, Arkansas or LSU?
And only 6 yards or 9 yards rushing.
What are you even thinking about over there?
All 623 yards passing.
Yeah,
and they get Stingley back.
Their best player is not there. I could go through that entire roster you didn't have last year. I hate that I'm even considering that Arkansas might have a better defense than LSU. But of the two games we saw, Arkansas stonewalled Georgia for about 39 minutes. And I will say this. For those who did not watch the LSU Mississippi State game, go back and watch, because for 21, 22 minutes, Mississippi State only had a field goal. KJ Costello and company did not look that great. Now, they turned it on, especially in the second half, but LSU had a pick six in that game. KJ Costello fumbled the football early, and he had another interception. I mean, this offense, listen, KJ played out of his mind in the second half. But they also
our offense is going to have to help us out, guys.
Yeah.
You know, our field position was terrible in that game. We couldn't get out of our own end of the field. And you know, you can only do that so many times without bad things happening. So this week, let's run the football. Let's see what these coaches, if they're really capable of improvement, which I think they are. I think we're going to see improvement this week. And let's get a W. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call, Danny. I would say to his question about how many points does Arkansas have to score this week, I don't know if I'd go as high as...
To win.
I don't know if I would go as high as 50, but I would probably say high 30s or 40. I don't know if you'd have
so
to score 50.
So we're within touchdown of each other's opinion. I
think Arkansas's defense will show up a little more than LSU's did. And again, what do you have? What does Barry Odom have that Bo Pelini didn't have? What does Barry Odom have that Bo Pelini didn't, that you've talked about several times this week?
Well, I'm guessing you're looking for Stingley, but that's not the answer.
Game film.
Oh, game film. Game film.
So Bo, or Barry Odom
talked about that a lot. There is more, you know, evidence on Costello, who didn't play a year ago in this league, that you at least get this one game to break down, look at, you know, mull over.
You're not having to patch Stanford games and Washington State games. You have one
game.
Trying
to figure out what they're going to do. You know what they're going to do.
And that doesn't mean that Leach didn't hold back anything that he might use against Arkansas, but you do have a full game of college football.
Wait. You don't think he was holding plays? Hey, I don't want to show this against LSU because I'm going to use it to beat Arkansas.
Coaches are weird, man.
You're right. Paranoia is the first requirement.
Yeah, that's just how it is. So that's just how it is. When
it does sound weird, though, coming off the tongue. He wasn't showing those looks because he was saving them for Arkansas.
And you mentioned something that, like, you asked me the question. I was kind of, like, swishing this thought in my head a little bit about, like, this LSU and Arkansas. Do they have comparable defenses? Listen, and I feel like I have to go through this again when it comes to LSU's defense. Patrick Queen, Michael Divinity, Kristen Fulton, All-American Grant Delpit, that defensive line. I mean, they lost everyone from last year's team. Everyone. Derek Stanley Jr. was not playing that game. So, like, I know they've recruited well down there, but, I mean, I know it was one game, but Arkansas's defense looked better in one game than LSU's did. So, take that for what it's worth. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said, it's one game, and there was a lot of conversation to be read. Some of the analysis of how LSU defended Mississippi State at times and going man versus zone, and they just couldn't do it. It opened up some passing lanes. It will be interesting. That's one thing to watch in this game. We'll get into this with Clay when he joins us and talk about how the secondary and how Barry Odom makes the approach there in defending those wide receivers from Mississippi State. I don't know that Arkansas is going to get up on the line of scrimmage and try to press these guys and go man, but you're going to have to mix up the looks. So we'll get into that with Clay coming up. But that was one thing that people that break this stuff down felt that Bo Pelini really didn't handle well, was how to mix up zone and man coverage in last week's game.
He looked like he was stubborn, and he
wanted to play man because, by golly, we're LSU. We got the better athletes, and we're going to line up and play man on you, and it didn't work out. Yeah. And some teams can do that. You know, they just we're bigger, faster. Faster is the key word. We're faster than you, and we can cover you. We're going man because we got three or four guys that can do it. Well, it didn't work out last week.
Let's get into some quick hitting headlines. We'll start with the XFL. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is bringing that sucker back. This is going to start in spring of 2022. According to The Rock, why is this going to work / not going to work again?
It's going to work because we love football. We have an appetite for football year round. I mean, quality football. That's why we watch, you know, that's why the hardcores watch the Canadian League. That's why we love college football in this part of the country more than the NFL. We have an appetite for football 13 months a year. We talk about it 13 months a year on this show. So why will it work? Because we have an appetite for it and there's a demand for it.
And it was working when they came around the second time. I mean, it took the virus to shut down the league and then all that happened. So,
but it's got to be a good product. It can't be too gimmicky. It's got to be like football.
But they introduced all those interesting changes, like with the kickoff rules and different things like that, and it made it different enough. I thought it was working, and it was like, what was the AAFL? Was that the first one that was
AAF.
AAF, yeah. So,
Phil's against both of you guys, and I'm somewhere in the middle of Phil and y'all, because Phil is under the impression that it's not going to work, because I remember we had several conversations about that.
We had talked about it in a couple days, but I think it will. I mean,
it will ultimately fail because it's not the NFL. That's the biggest problem any of these leagues have is, well, you're not the NFL. The NFL has the best players, the best coaches, the best everything. That's the problem any of these secondary leagues have are, well, they're secondary. And as a consumer of the product, we have to accept that it is secondary. The problem is it's not really even secondary. It's thirdary is not a word, but it's third.
It's just
because
there.
The NFL and college football are superior in our heads to whatever product this is. We're never going to choose that over college football or the NFL. That's why you play in the offseason of those times.
A couple tidbits from Sam Pittman's press conference yesterday. Dorian Gerald, you're still a wait and see on him. He didn't practice yesterday, and it's kind of just a wait and see till the weekend when it comes to his status. But another guy's status that has been cemented is Jarquez McCauley. And for those who haven't heard, the cornerback for the University of Arkansas has decided to opt out of this season. Started 11 of 12 games last year. This is a loss for the Razorbacks.
Well, and this is his second quarantine I think he's been in. It's got to be just exhausting and frustrating to be going through the process right now. And I think this is just a casualty of COVID, not necessarily that of McClellan's health, but he's had family members that have struggled with this. There's some family elements to this with the statement that I know we're going to get into that was out there yesterday. But I would imagine once you went through one and then now a second quarantine, hey, you're just exhausted with this. Mm-hmm. The protocols, the temperature checks, the whole thing, is this really worth it? And he's opted out. Now, we got to remember, opted out doesn't mean you're opting off the team. It just means you're opting out of the season. Doesn't mean you're gone, right? Doesn't mean you're leaving the university. It's not transfer portal. Don't confuse any of this stuff out there.
When it comes to that, you mentioned him being quarantined twice since returning June 1st, and he also had this to say: after watching my mama fight for life on the ventilator during last year during the birth of my little sister, it really hit home for me and my family being quarantined, and I wished the university the best during this football season. Now, he is now the third Razorback that has decided to opt out of this season. Shamar Nass and Chibuizi Nwana are the other two guys. And this is a guy, again, started 11 to 12 games last year, is an important part of the secondary, and you need all the secondary pieces you can have when it comes to Saturday night's game against Mississippi State.
McClellan was, what, second on the depth chart behind Brown, Monteric Brown. So there's a guy that played a lot of snaps last week. You need the depth. Arkansas does not have any depth to give up really anywhere. And we can't act like this isn't going to come with some consequences, because it will.
Secondary needs all the help they can get, especially going up against Mississippi State.
We'll get some thoughts from Clay and how this impacts the defense moving forward.
Yeah, no question about it. I want to remind everyone, our Hit That Line podcast network is live, whether it's iTunes, whether it's Spotify, Google Play, SoundCloud, wherever you listen to your podcast, make sure you subscribe to the Hit That Line podcast network. Bud Light Morning Rush Seltzer podcast, the Halftime Pod, Fantasy Football Sunday, Hog Reaction, Ruskin and Zach, and there's one I'm missing, Primetime Preps. All those are on Hit That Line, and wherever you listen to podcasts, subscribe, comment, rate. We really appreciate it. Our listens, we have had over 100,000 listens this past month. We've had over 27,000 listens these past 7 days. That's all a credit to you all listening. We really appreciate it, especially for those who don't get a chance to listen to the full show in its entirety. We really appreciate
that. What should our next podcast/videocast be about?
Wrestling.
Probably food. You're welcome to do a wrestling one, man.
Come on.
How can me and you do one? Because I'm not going to do wrestling. How could me and you do one about barbecue and wrestling together?
We can watch wrestling episodes and smoke barbecue.
Okay.
Because WrestleMania is long enough that we can smoke a pork butt.
We got a think tank going on this. Yeah. I'm interested in doing something else, but I want to do something else, you know, that complements what we do. But yeah, like, you know, barbecue stuff or food stuff. I think if we did something on like tailgate recipes and we went through it and like condensed it down into
Daniel Lagasse on the
10 minute or less deals or something, did some video. I don't know. We need to work on this. Me and you are the guys to do a food podcast.
Yes, sir.
Although Ty has a
he could be our taste tester.
Yes, we got to involve Ty.
I will happily accept that with a badge of honor as far as that goes. So happily do that. If you all have a podcast idea, throw it at us anytime you want.
What do you want to hear out there? You know, because we got sports covered. So what else do we need to go do? I mean, I think we got the Razorbacks and the SEC and college sports pretty well nailed down. Now we got high school sports nailed down. You got fantasy football. going. Somebody, is that nailed down?
It's not nailed down.
I didn't go nailed down there.
That's probably why.
What next?
I will say Jerry Jeudy helped me out last night. I unfortunately, I couldn't help but saying this. There was, I was watching the game at a local watering hole last night. He scored a touchdown. I accidentally let a Roll Tide out because I was so ecstatic. And that will never happen again. I apologize.
Wash your mouth out with soap.
Seriously. But I need all the help I can get when it comes to my fantasy football
team. Clay is up early. We've already talked to him this morning. Wait till he hears that.
Probably going to chastise me as soon as he hops in on the program. But
he should.
And but if you do have something when it comes to the podcast conversation, any idea, I think the food probably is the best idea, Tommy. The food is.
JB in Bentonville says, what about previewing basketball season? Well, I think, that's sports. You know,
I would say
we'll do that in the other ones.
JB, I would say that it has to be outside of the realm of sports. So I would say like food, pop culture, movies.
David in South Arkansas likes your tailgating recipes.
Yeah, we'll do something. Maybe we'll do some restaurant reviews or something. I don't know. We'll work on that.
Our Dude. Taste of the town.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So
taste of the state or something. That'll give us an excuse to go places.
Yeah. That's
you know, I've been to y'all ever heard of OARC, Arkansas?
Yeah,
the OARC General Store. That would be a good first one. I've never been to OARC. We could have the OARC burger at the General Store.
I'm blank. What was the name of the restaurant in Jasper? The Ozark Cafe?
Yes, yep. There's that one. There's a couple there. But the Ozark Cafe has that volcano burger.
Yes.
So we could just drive around and just run our cholesterol up to 1,000. Yeah.
Good.
I'm for it.
Good, good, good. So I'm 100% down for that. All right, so I was doing a little research on Kendall Briles' offense over the years. Do you know last week was the lowest his offense has ever scored in a football game? Ever.
Ever?
Since 2015 when he took
How
over.
How long is ever?
In the offense.
Long time.
2015, offense coordinator Baylor. 2 years there, then Florida Atlantic, then Houston, then Florida State. First time he's ever only scored 10 points in a football game. His second lowest total is, actually, excuse me, he had one tie against Miami this past year when he was at Florida State. So one tie. That's it. That's the lowest he's ever had as far as Florida State is concerned when it comes to that. So outside of last week and against Miami last year when they only scored 10, his offense, his second lowest total has been 14. So it's rare that you see Kendall Briles' offense struggle like it did last week.
Well, why did it struggle? Why did the offense sputter? Well, Georgia's defense is a good answer. But field position, and that's special teams, and then it's the offense helping themselves out by getting a few first downs consistently and working on field position. Georgia had a great punter, too. That didn't help matters. But field position was why you struggled. You were starting so far away from the goal line you were trying to get to. You know, in the first half, you had an average of 86 yards to go. That doesn't work very well against a great defense.
I would agree. I would say
field position. They got to be better there this week.
Yeah.
That is a multifaceted answer to how you solve that.
I asked Sam Pittman yesterday about Kendall being really locked in this week. Here's what he had to say about Kendall Briles.
No more than what he was before. I mean, he's a good football coach and has been that way ever since I hired him. And at some point, players got to go out there and function as well. You know, again, I think we played one of the best defenses in the country, so hopefully our performance on offense will get better, and I believe it will.
And I have been on the mountaintop screaming that hey, take a chill pill. It was against George. It was your first game, new OC, new DC, best team in the country scoring-wise last year. But if the offense struggles against Mississippi State this week, then you can start having this conversation again. I don't think that you necessarily have the conversation following the week one loss to Georgia. It's a different story, though, if you go into Starkville and you struggle offensively, and Felipe in particular, if he doesn't hold up in that football game.
Yeah, I mean, we're still trying to calibrate how much of last week's performance was due to Georgia's incredible defense and Arkansas's ineptitude on special teams played a role into this. But there's still no getting around, Ty, the fact that you had 16 drives and 12 of them were four and out or less. There's 11 of them that were pure three and outs. Then you had the one with the safety on the double reverse. So we're going to throw that one in there. So you can't win very many football games against an SEC, an elite SEC team with only four productive drives in the ball game. That's the problem. You get anywhere from 13 to 16 is kind of a high number. And you go back and look at a lot of drive charts. It's on the higher end, at least. You normally have somewhere between 12 and 15 drives in a game. You had 16 in this one, and you just didn't do enough with the opportunities you had. That's the bottom line. That's one of the first pages I always look at when we print the stats out is, how'd you do on those drives? And break that down, because 12 of 16 going three and out essentially is not going to cut it.
You have to sustain drives in this league. You have to sustain drives if you're going to run an up-tempo offense, because you don't want to just gas the Arkansas defense and Barry Odom's squad. They have to be given opportunity. They have to be given time to rest, and they really weren't able to in the second half of that football game. And I expect, like many of you, that the Kendall Briles offense picks it up against Mississippi State tomorrow night. I don't envision the offense playing like it did against Georgia. I think they're going to be able to get a push on Mississippi State. Now, you got to be careful, because Mississippi State, they got to Miles Brennan seven different times on Saturday. So they're going to have to protect Felipe Franks, a bunch of different guys. I think like seven or eight guys got a sack or something in that game for Mississippi State. So you got to be careful when it comes to the Bulldogs defense.
Can you cover well enough to do that? I mean, they looked as though the secondary was so much better, but that's part of the sack number, is you've got to cover long enough that, you know, Costello's not going to throw it because he didn't get anybody open. Can you keep their guys from being open to where the sacks can develop and can mount up? Part of it is your secondary's got to do their job.
Yeah, and I was that too, definitely. But I'm talking about protecting like Felipe, like making.
Oh, sure. I thought you were talking about seven. Wait, hang on. Which side were you talking about? Because both teams had some sacks in the game. You said Miles Brennan. They sacked Miles Brennan seven times. Yes, maybe I was going the wrong way.
Yes, LSU had five sacks on KJ Costello, okay. And then Mississippi State had seven sacks on Miles Brennan. So right. They just need to be careful when it comes to pass pro protecting and just making sure. But no, your point.
Right. I was talking maybe I only heard half of what you're saying there, but I was just talking about if Arkansas is going to get to Costello four or five times in the game. Let's forget the number seven. You're also going to need help from the secondary covering those receivers where Costello, I can't throw it there. And the next thing you know,
coverage sack.
Yeah. You know, no, it's a cover. Yeah, exactly.
Your point is 100% valid, and LSU was able to do that a little bit. They have to be able to get pressure rushing four if you're the Arkansas Razorbacks.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a light and flavorful beer for those easy drinking occasions.
The crowd, they just threw him out of the game. They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
Jake hosts the afternoon drive from 3 to 6 on ESPN Radio 105.9 in Jackson, Mississippi. Jake, thanks so much for making some time this morning for us, man.
Guys, good morning. Happy Friday. How's it going?
Man, it's going. We got a big game on Saturday night when the Razorbacks travel to Starkville to take on the Mississippi State Bulldogs. And I remember watching the game just a slight bit on Saturday and not necessarily being surprised, but just kind of wondering what this Mississippi State football team is this year. I know you probably got a number of calls this week. How excited are the team and the fan base in Starkville, Mississippi?
Well, I think, you know, you start with the fan base. I think they're extremely excited. It's been a number of years that we've seen for Mississippi State to have any kind of success throwing the football. You can go all the way back to Dak Prescott in 2014, 2015, and that's kind of the last time, you know, Mississippi State was ever able to throw the football. And you've got to really go back that far to kind of start the story because, you know, while Dan Mullen is a really good football coach, he's got a really good football team down in Florida right now. Dan Mullen really kind of checked out mentally, I think, on Mississippi State recruiting the last year or two and really dropped the ball on bringing in quality wide receivers. And then you fast forward through Joe Moorhead, and he didn't do the Bulldogs any favors either. So, you know, we were talking with some people in the program last week before this game, and I asked, I said, look, guys, how many wide receivers is Mike Leach going to rotate? Because, you know, Gardner Minshew, who is with the Jacksonville Jaguars, played for Mike Leach. He's from here. I had the opportunity to call all of his high school football games, know him personally and his family pretty well. And Gardner used to tell me, he said, when he was at Washington State, he said, man, we rotate 11 to 14 wide receivers.
Wow.
And they all can play. And so last week, you know, I was told Mississippi State was going to rotate 7 to 8. I mean, so that tells you kind of the depth differential and where Mike Leach is now and where he wants to be. But to be able to see him take those wide receivers that were there and then, of course, get a transfer from Alabama and Shavers and some other guys, some JUCO guys, and really turn that thing into the machine with KJ Costello that they did last week. Extremely impressive. The fan base extremely excited. And, of course, it's a long season, but, boy, Mike Leach couldn't have had a better opener than he did last weekend.
Jake, I'll tell you what else was impressive is the Mississippi State defense getting to Miles Brennan 7 times in that football game. I think it was 2017 when Alex Greenwich was still the defensive coordinator at Washington State, who's now the D.C. at Oklahoma, where they had a really salty defense. And I know Leach isn't necessarily known for that unit, but, my goodness, they look pretty good getting to Miles Brennan on Saturday.
Yeah, that was a real big question mark. And, of course, it's still going to be a question mark moving forward. Is, you know, Zach Arnett coming in from San Diego State and, you know, well, yeah, he coached under Rocky Long. What does that mean? What does that look like? Because, you know, as we all know, Mike Leach defenses typically are defenses that's going to bend. Sometimes they're going to break. You're going to have to, you know, win games in the 30s, 40s, maybe even 50s out on the West Coast. But to see them, as you said, get after Miles Brennan and get 7 sacks and be able to, you know, take a bunch of young guys and look much better than I thought they would, especially on the back end. They gave up some plays. But, yeah, a really good job defensively. Gave up some points, probably, you know, too many points. There were more points than you would want on a given weekend. But LSU's still got a lot of talent. That's a very talented football team. They're going to be fine.
KJ Costello, 623 passing yards, have drawn a lot of attention for the new SEC record. The last time Mississippi State and Arkansas played, State set school records with 640 yards in an SEC game, got 460 on the ground. What are you expecting? I don't think many expect Costello to go for 623 again, but what is going to be a reasonable number in the minds of most State fans and the media there for productivity this week for this Mississippi State offense?
Well, you're absolutely right, and I've had some people joke and say, hey, maybe this is the floor. And I said, no, that's nowhere near the floor. I mean, that's an unbelievable performance last week. I think you've got to dial that thing way back and say, you know, anything over 300 yards, 300 to 400 yards is probably reasonable for, you know, an offense that's going to throw the ball 50, 60 times. I mean, Mississippi State, even though they have Kylan Hill, they didn't run the ball a whole lot last week. And Mike Leach is pretty defiant. I mean, he doesn't believe in balance. He says he thinks that is way overrated. And, of course, you can go all the way back to several years ago against Utah. I don't think they ran the ball one time and still beat Utah. So, you know, as much as they're going to throw the ball, I think you got to look around the 300, 400 range on average. Would like to see them, though, get Kylan Hill more involved in the run game. And I think you'll see that. I mean, they're going to have to do this at some point. I mean, teams are going to scheme better. They're going to play better defensively. And, look, KJ Costello, I mean, he's human. So he's going to have some mistakes. He's going to have bad games. And he's going to have subpar games. But I think that, you know, if you look around with a 300 to 400-yard mark, I think that's probably where you need to kind of put that yard marker.
Now, you bring up Kylan Hill. That was my next question. 158 receiving yards last week, the highest total for a Bulldog running back in the history of Mississippi State's program. But he's known for running the football. So how does Mike Leach in this offense involve him? Is it short hand, extended handoff screen passes? How do you involve Kylan Hill moving forward with this offense under Mike Leach?
Yeah, I think just what you said and you alluded to, you got to try to get him involved in space. Excuse me. And, you know, you got to get him involved with the handoffs, the delays. And then, you know, you got to take some chances. If you can get him, like they showed last week, one-on-one in space out of the backfield, he is an absolute matchup nightmare for most people just because of his size and his speed. And I'm not even sure Kylan Hill yet understands how much he probably helped his draft stock last week, showing that he can catch the ball out of the backfield. But you're going to have to get him involved more in the run game. And, you know, there's going to have to be some isolations that they do. I know Mike Leach, sometimes he'll bring a tight end in. Mississippi State's got two pretty nice tight ends. I mean, they're very SEC average, but they can come in and play as that up-back position. But so you've got to get him more involved. And they've got some depth behind him as well. Going to have to run the ball in this league at some point.
Jake Wimberly with us, 105.9 The Zone in Jackson, Mississippi. Jake, let's move on to Ole Miss, the other Mississippi school that you're consistently talking about. Just kind of the thoughts from the fans this past week as the offense looked pretty decent, but Kyle Trask and company just ran and passed all over Ole Miss's defense.
Yeah, I mean, excited about the offense. I think Lane Kiffin, again, is going to be able to take – I mean, Lane does – and you guys know this, he does as good a job as anybody in the country taking the talent that he has and finding a way to move the football. And he's going to do that at Ole Miss. Defensively, you know, we were just talking about it yesterday with Neil McCready from Rebel Grove up there. And it's a twofold deal. One, they got to get used to the scheme that they're running. But two, there's a talent deficiency there. I mean, they've got to get bigger along the defensive front. They've got to get faster on the back end. I don't know what you're going to see, and you know how much better this defense can get. Now, they're not going to play teams like Florida every weekend, but the SEC, as we know, is loaded. Florida could be, by all accounts, the best team in the league. We don't know that yet, but they've got to get bigger. They've got to get stronger. That's going to happen through the recruiting process. But by all accounts, Ole Miss fans are excited. I mean, they actually had something to kind of hang their hat on, some excitement last week with what Matt Corral was able to do. I think Elijah Moore is one of the more underrated receivers in the league. He caught double-digit balls again. Jaron Ealy from right here in the Jackson metro area, he is a star in the making. And, you know, the big question is, what do they do with John Rhys Plumlee? And what does that look like? Because, you know, it's pretty evident Ole Miss doesn't want a run-first quarterback as their quarterback. They want somebody that can throw the ball, and Matt Corral offers that opportunity for them to do that.
Jake, after week one during the SEC, I've made the case that the second place in the division of the SEC West looks to be as open as it's ever been. Looking at Ole Miss, looking at Mississippi State, LSU, Texas A&M, what do you think about just, and Auburn as well, obviously, what do you think about who is probably going to contend and be the second best team in the SEC West this year?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's wide open. I mean, coming into the year, I had Texas A&M. I felt like this would be, you know, if there ever was a year, it was this year. And then, you know, Jimbo and the crew down there started losing some guys that opted out due to COVID, some wide receivers, some guys that just decided to move on with the program. And they looked, you know, and it's one game, so you got to kind of look at it in that context. But Texas A&M did not look the part against Vanderbilt last week. You know, it's a big point spread against Alabama this week. Auburn, you know, Auburn's always got athletes, and Gus Malzahn is Jekyll and Hyde. Everybody knows that. I mean, he's never had a losing season at Auburn, but he's, you know, he's been up and down. He'll beat Nick Saban and then turn around and lose to Central Florida, and that's no disrespect to Central Florida. So, you know, what does Bo Nix look like? I still feel Bo Nix, and I always have, that they've given him, the media has given him way too much credit, that there's a semblance of being overrated there. You look at LSU, I think they're definitely a step or two behind. And then you look at State, Ole Miss, and Arkansas. And I don't think, really, honestly, when you look at recruiting and you look at, you know, the way those programs are run, there's not a whole lot of difference between the three programs. And I think all three programs, even though Arkansas is, as you guys know, I mean, they're in a major rebuild. They looked much improved last week against Georgia to me. Felipe Franks can not turn the football over. I think they've got a chance to beat some people. So I do. I think it's wide open. And if you had to, like, pin me in it, you know, make me make a decision, probably Auburn right now, just because of the stability of that program. And that's, you know, the staff outside of Chad Morris coming in. I have to probably go Auburn. And, you know, if we're going to knee-jerk this thing, throw Mississippi State in there if KJ Costello can continue to play at a high level.
All right, let's circle back to the Arkansas-Mississippi State game. Davis Wade Stadium's going to be at 25% capacity. That's just over 15,000 fans that will be allowed in. What do you expect the atmosphere to be like? We know it's always a loud place with the cowbells. It's not the biggest venue. What is going to be the home field edge for the Bulldogs tomorrow night?
You know, I don't know that you can necessarily call it an edge. I mean, the Tate Reeves, the governor of Mississippi, has put in a mandate, did this several weeks ago, no tailgating, no gathering. So, you know, it's not like when you pull up, you're going to have, you know, the junction out there that they've turned, that Mississippi State's done a really good job turning that into a very nice tailgating venue, similar to the Grove at Oxford and some other places. But that's not going to be active. You know, 15,000 people, I think you'll have a nice chat, you know, chime in the background. But, to me, home field advantage is kind of irrelevant at this point. I think we saw that last week down in Baton Rouge. I don't know that that game, how much different it would have been, but I think a full Tiger Stadium would have made a little bit of a difference for LSU. And, you know, for Arkansas, it's an advantage coming in that you're not going to have, you know, 50,000 people with tons of cowbells ringing. So I think the home field advantage, you can kind of probably throw that out the window. And for Mississippi State, you got to avoid a hangover. You know, are you still living off last weekend? Because if you're living off last weekend, you know, they called Arkansas's attention to be able to throw the ball, and I can guarantee you Arkansas is going to come in, you know, as best prepared as they can to try to stop this, you know, air raid attack from Mike Leach.
I don't know how much you cover recruiting, but I'm going to ask anyway. How has Mike Leach gotten off to a start in his first year recruiting-wise with the extended dead period? We've seen Sam Pittman and his staff have some success. How would you describe the recruiting effort that Leach's staff has had so far with all the rules and the restrictions and doing everything virtually? How has it went for Mississippi State recruiting so far this year?
We do. We live and die through recruiting down here. We love it. And you know, when you look at this year, Mike Leach has done a nice job. They already had a lot of contacts out of the state of Texas. when they were at Washington State. And one of the things that I've said that is an advantage for Mike Leach is the offensive staff that he brought. He brought his entire offensive staff. So when you talk about guys like Steve Spurrier Jr. and guys that has been that have been with him for the long haul, recruiters, guys that understand, you know, what they want out of kids for their systems, they kind of got a head start, and they've got a couple quarterbacks committed from the state of Texas. They've got some wide receivers from the state of Texas, some guys in the state of Mississippi they've picked up as well. It's kind of been a wonky year in the state of Mississippi recruiting-wise, because not just in the state of Mississippi, everywhere. You can't go visit kids. You can't have kids on campus. So what we've seen is a lot of the top athletes with coaching changes in the state of Mississippi. You know, you're talking about the state of Mississippi has gone through now. They will go through four, what I call the big four in Mississippi, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Southern Miss, and even Jackson State will have all changed coaches by Christmas. So you're seeing other schools come in and dip in and grab some talent out of the state of Mississippi. But back to your question on Leach, he's done a really good job of grabbing some guys, you know, out of the state of Texas, out of the state of Louisiana. They feel like they've probably met most of their needs at this point. Probably a little shaky on the evaluation, but you know, quarterback is a big thing. Receiver's a big thing for Mike Leach, obviously, and some offensive linemen. He's got some nice offensive linemen or would look to be committed to the program. And then probably his biggest recruiting coup was Will Rogers, who's the backup quarterback. He's the second string quarterback on the team, again, from right here in the central Mississippi area, convincing him and to stay on after the coaching change. And I don't think he had a whole lot of convincing to do. He had offered Will at Washington State. So to answer your question, I think he's done a pretty nice job of keeping the guys intact that, you know, were kind of on the board, so to speak, and then trying to find some other ones in a very difficult situation that we're all in right now.
Jake, before we let you go, just your thoughts on a score prediction Saturday night against Mississippi State.
Wow, that point total. Now, we do a ton of sports gaming down here, and so we look at a lot of that stuff. That point total is at 69. That's extremely high. A lot of people are going to jump the over on that thing and probably push it to 70. I think that game is played well under 69, though. I would have to say, you know, give Mississippi State just a little bit of the edge just because of the quarterback position. Looks like, you know, Costello's a little bit more polished than Felipe Frank. So, you know, I'm going to say Mississippi State wins this game somewhere around, you know, 34-24. We'll go 10-point ball game.
Okay. Yeah, I'm at 45-31 Bulldogs right now. Jake Wimberly, host of the Afternoon Drive in Jackson, Mississippi on ESPN Radio 105.9. Jake, appreciate your time this morning, man. Enjoying the game on Saturday night, and we'll catch up, I guess, next year when they play again.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Good stuff from Jake on The Conversation.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade with half the sugar and carbs of Mike's Hard.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time we're coming for the whole damn thing.
Before we get into our game predictions, again, I want to ask our listeners this question. I played pickup basketball yesterday, and then I played pickleball last night, and I was quite sore when I got home. So I want to ask the question, is it ever okay for a man to take a bath?
I know that you're new at this, but this is completely unacceptable bath decorum.
Oh, it's so hard to care when you're this relaxed.
Okay, fine. You can have the bath, but I am taking your boat. Now you're just a girl in a tub.
Hey!
Hi, Bubbles. Manly.
Is it ever okay for a man to take a bath? Ever?
Yeah, I think we could.
Absolutely.
It's
especially, I mean, when your wife's already in the bathtub, it's a great time for a man to take a bath.
Cannonball. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's therapeutic. It's relaxing. It makes you feel better. Who doesn't get out of a bath? And you need to do it while you're still at an age where getting, because Clay can attest to this, once you get to Clay's age, getting into and out of the bathtub
can be difficult.
Is a little more challenging, isn't it, Clay?
Scared.
It is.
Scared about a fall.
So at your age, enjoy it while you can.
Greg
I'm
and
falling
Fort-
in, I can't get up.
Exactly. You may have to call the fire department to come get you out of there.
Greg in Fort Smith agrees with you, Clay. He says, exactly. Only with you do it with another woman, though. Like, initially, for those who got the reference I just played, that was Chandler from Friends. And he was asked the question. He was like, Monica was like, I thought you liked baths. He's like, no, I like being in the bath with you. I don't necessarily like baths. So I'm kind of curious what our listeners. I'm surprised. I thought y'all were going to lambast me and criticize me for. I took a shower last night, but yeah, I'm
there's
curious.
There's times like you know, you can, you know, you might need to soak your knees or your ankle. Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about, you know, it's it. There is some therapy, but just for just general hygiene, no, you don't take a bath. No, you take a shower.
You do it to make your muscles feel better, not to clean your body. So yep. We bought this house that we live in like 2008, and it has this huge master bathroom tub. It's 150 gallons. I mean, it's a huge tub. So we redid, oh, this is going to be wonderful. This is going to be all. We're going to enjoy this so much. It's got the jets in it. This is, man, this is the central feature of the master suite.
Y'all never
use it. We put in a tankless hot water system and all this stuff to make this bathtub wonderful. We've lived there 13 years. We've used it twice.
We had the same thing. We lived in a house 7 years, and it had jacuzzi, hot tub. Yeah. And when we sold the house, they're like, does everything work? Yeah, everything works. Well, then, you know, we had the guy come out and run through the house for the test. He's like, hey, your jacuzzi tub doesn't work. Well, we didn't know. We never gotten into it.
Exactly.
It had to be fixed.
Yeah. Last question I have for you as we close down this conversation and get into our game predictions. Is Bubbles too much? Is that where we draw the line as men?
Oh, Ty. It's like ketchup on steak.
Yeah. You draw the line of Bubbles, Clay. Bath's okay, but no Bubbles.
Wait, hey, check back with me and Clay when you do the ice bath. When you get bubbles in the bathtub.
Bubbles are for 3-year-olds.
Yeah. When you get in the tub and you put about 3 bags of ice in there with the cold water to make your legs feel better after a hard workout or just, that's when we know you're really doing it for the right reasons.
Okay. Ice bath, yeah.
Ice bath.
I've done, I think, one of those in my entire life.
For you, I think lavender bubbles would be perfect.
Lavender bubbles?
Can't you just see him with his lavender bubbles and his blackberry white claw just really letting the stress.
Grapefruit
white claw.
Be correct about that if we're going to say it.
And then the skin mask on your face. Yeah, that's it. That's time.
The fact that you know the white claw flavors is...
It was funny. Concerning. So I had my physical checkup this week. For those who are wondering, yes, I'm in good condition.
No, we're not wondering.
Good health. But the lady looked at me. She was like, hey, so how much do you drink during the week? And how much do you do that? I said, I only drink like once per week. And she's like, when? It's like on the weekends. And then she asked the number of how many drinks I consumed. What is the
protocol? And then when you told her White Claw, she says, oh, those don't count.
What is the protocol? Are you supposed to lie to your nurse when they actually ask you how much you drink during the week for those listening? Is that for like insurance purposes? Are you supposed to? I told the truth.
That's for screening purposes.
I told the truth, but I'm wondering if I shouldn't have. If I should have put it down a little bit, the number I told her. So, I don't know.
What number does
they understand? They understand.
Now we want to know the number.
It's too late now.
We need to know the number.
Hey, she took one look at you, and whenever you told her, she said times two in her mind. That's what she wrote down. Yeah. She understands.
Yeah. Wesley texted. He says, why are you letting other dudes determine your manhood? He says, I take baths anytime I want to relax. Bubbles are even more relaxing. Clay, you don't know what you're talking about, according to Wesley. That's what he's saying.
Oh, I think I know.
Well, your statement about your wife, and I'm assuming every other man out there, they probably enjoy their wife in there rather than that.
But you know who doesn't enjoy it? Our wives. Brett Good is listening now. He said Ty would cry in an ice bath.
I probably would, honestly. So I've only done it once. It was not that soothing.
No, those are tough.
All right, that's it. That does it for our bath conversation. Let's get to what you want to talk about. This game tomorrow night, Starkville, Mississippi, kickoff set for 6:30. You can hear the IMG pregame and us on Arkansas game day. We start at 1:30 that day, then IMG pregame. Then you'll hear from Chuck, Quinn, and Gino during the game. We'll also have a little social media hog reaction for you at halftime and following the game. Clay, I'll let you start, man. Just your thoughts. I know that it's already in Hogs Illustrated. And again, I appreciate you allowing me to be in the magazine in the score prediction. Do a little suck up real quick.
Did you get my check I sent you to get Ty back in there? Is that the Norfolk?
I think it will.
I hadn't cleared the bank yet.
It was a little more than what I asked for, but I appreciate it.
I knew the cost.
Sometimes it takes a little bit. Clay, what kind of your thought? You said that Arkansas is a very, very opportunistic chance to compete in this football game.
Yeah, I think that you make a lot of improvement, and I think having the scouting report on what Leach does and seeing it up close and personal and understanding what they did to LSU will help Arkansas. I think it also is, if you're ever going to go to Starkville, this is the year, no cowbells. I guess there'll be some cowbells, but it'll be reduced attendance. And I think
15,000 versus 61,000.
And I expect them to pipe the cowbell sound through the speakers. I mean, if I was them, that's what I'd do until somebody made me stop.
I feel bad for the speakers. So.
Yeah, they'll be rattling before the game's over, right? But I think there's some opportunity for Arkansas in the running game, which will help. Did not think Arkansas would win. Still don't think they will, but I think there's a chance to compete and get into the fourth quarter. Maybe something happens on a Saturday night in Starkville.
Yeah, I liked your comment in Hogs Illustrated. Hey, 10 days ago, I thought this was a winnable game. After last weekend, my opinion has changed about Mississippi State.
So. I think that's for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think that's just
well, when we get more evidence, we change our minds.
Yeah. And we don't know how bad LSU is, and they had a ton of quarantine. Ed Orgeron at some point in preseason said, our whole camp has been out at some point. The whole team has missed time. And that's the ugly truth about where college football is right now. We're making it to game week somehow, some way, and hope to play. And, I'm thankful for it because I did thoroughly enjoy going to the game last week.
Yeah. So, I think this is going to be a shootout. I think it's a little higher scoring game than most think. I think Mississippi State wins the game, but I think Arkansas is able to move their offense because you're not facing one of the best defenses in the country this week. So I look for Franks and Boyd to get on track, get these receivers involved. I think there are some mismatches between Mississippi State's secondary and Arkansas's wide receivers. The real question is, can Arkansas keep up defensively with Mississippi State? So I like State. I think the winner's in the low to mid-50s in this game.
What did you say on your score prediction?
56-44,
okay.
Mississippi State.
And I said 45-31, so maybe like last week it'll be right down the middle between us. So
Tommy had the highest point total for Mississippi State of our pickers. Dudley had 51.
He had 51, I had 56. And I did that kind of in the after
you had watch. Arkansas scoring 44. That's they're gonna have to get some defensive touchdowns to get that many points.
I don't believe in State's defense. I think when you look at some 6 foot corners and then you look at Arkansas's wide receivers with the longer arms, bigger range, I think there's some opportunity there.
Franks has got to play better.
He's
we haven't mentioned him much. That we, they've got to have better play in the offensive line, better play at quarterback.
Remember the game back in 2016 where it was 58-42 in favor of the Razorbacks? Raleigh Williams went for over 200 yards, if I remember that correctly. It was unbelievable that game. I don't know if it'll reach that level of scoring, but I do think you're going to see some offense, and I think that Kendall Briles and company will pick it up. I just don't know if it's going to be enough to beat Mississippi State, but you just want to see it compete. You saw Arkansas compete against a top five team in the country for not just a half, but for 39 minutes. They led for 39 minutes, and then the offense just could not get anything going. Defense helped you first week, offense. Why don't you help them out this week? They're going to be dog-tired facing Mike Leach, facing that offense. You need to step up. Felipe Franks.
You sound like Eddie from Clarksville.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. And a very mild version.
You and Tupac.
Some. You got your hog to laugh.
Whether it's Felipe, whether it's Rakeem, whether it's Mike Woods, Traylon Knox, Trey Burks, offensive line, you got to step up this week, guys. You need to. Arkansas fans are begging you to. And you guys can do it. No question about it. You guys have the talent. You weren't highly recruited for nothing. You didn't make plays in high school for nothing. Come together as a team. Figure it out on Saturday night. It's not out of the range, not out of possibility. You've beat Mississippi State before in Starkville. Why not do it again? Why not start this era beating a coach that was almost going to be your head coach? Why not start it that way? That's the best It's the best motivation I can give. I bet.
I just hope every one of us that picked the game for Clay this week are all wrong.
Because every single one of us picked Mississippi State. Don't listen to us, guys.
That's what happens when you lose 20 straight SEC games.
That's fair. Right. So, great point, Clay.
You're beat down a little bit.
For Clay Henry, Tommy Kraft, Matt Jenkins, I am Ty Richardson. Hopefully the Hogs don't sit on their hands on Saturday night.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.